Hey, everybody. So, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, we literally just got back from seeing this movie like half an hour ago, 45 yeah. minutes ago, something like that. Yeah. We went to the 1:55 showing. Honestly, it wasn't that bad.
Brian Hackett, my boy I went to military school with, who works at Hollywood, he was bagging on this pretty bad. It's not that bad, though. It's enjoyable. The original Firestarter movie was a low-budget sci-fi horror kind of adventure flick. And that's what this is. They try to give you something new and then try to give you some nostalgia. There's, you know, John Carpenter does the damn score for it.
And his son Cody also.
Yeah.
They work together.
And it delivers. It's good. You know, the score. They made a lot of changes. Some of it I didn't like. Other ones I just didn't really care about the changes that they made. It just, you know, worked, I guess. It was just they're just trying to give you an enjoyable movie under budget. It's Blumhouse. Yeah, they did it okay.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
They just can't be real strict with the story. And it looks like they're trying to get two movies out of this because it didn't really end. Not my opinion.
Yeah, that was the only... I think that was the only major criticism I had. Yeah. I didn't mind so much because they did change it quite a bit from the book. So the story is not the same as the book, which I kind of feel like the 1984 movie was a lot more faithful to the book. It's been a long time since I read the book, but I did like read a quick plot synopsis just to remind myself because it's probably been like 25, 30 years since I've read it. So the 1984 movie, which we might actually watch tonight, like rewatch tonight and talk about tomorrow. I don't know. We haven't decided yet, but... that one was a lot more faithful. This one made some changes. And like you said, some of them, I understand why they did it. Some of them, I was like, meh, well, they probably shouldn't have changed that. But I didn't really... none of them, like, pissed me off or offended me or anything like that. But I will say the ending is a little anticlimactic. That was the only thing. And I think maybe it's because they're trying to, like, set up...
For another one.
Or it's going to go into a series or a spinoff or something like that. Like, they were in discussions. I don't know if they're going to do it now because I feel like the movie's maybe not doing that well. But I don't know. It's weird because it seems like critics, it's, you know, it's kind of like 15% positive reviews. Whereas public is kind of more like half and half.
Yeah.
Which is about right. I kind of feel like... Now, I will say that I liked this... I think I liked this better than... You remember back in, I guess it was 2019, that they did the Pet Sematary reboot? And they changed a lot from, you know, from the book in that one, too. I think I liked this better than the Pet Sematary reboot.
Yeah. It's not as good as the director's cut of Dr. Sleep. Which, you know, kind of goes without saying, Doctor Sleep had a fucking huge budget. But you could tell that this is in the same Stephen King universe as Doctor Sleep. And, you know, The Shining and that kind of stuff. You know, when these books all came out, back when we were kids, when these came out, King was putting out some good fucking books. And they were about paranormal phenomenon. He knew what he was talking about. He got in with some people who were parapsychologists, because he describes things that do exist, you know, and that parapsychology was looking at them. He describes them pretty accurately, but then he blows them out of proportion, of course. You know, you got to make it bigger and better in Hollywood, and what would it be if you really could start fires with your mind, which I'm convinced can happen. It's just poltergeist activity, which I've seen that. Psychokinesis. Instead of moving the object, you're just speeding up the molecules until it gets hot enough to fucking something catch on fire. And then once it's on fire, it'll just burn. Now, there's a couple decisions that they made in this movie that fucking irked me. Her dad, and then you find out later on, she also has the ability to psychically dominate a person. Which is, that exists. It's called mentalism, or hardball sales tactics, okay? Which they work, and propaganda. All this shit works as long as you're not real aware of it. They just keep asking you questions and filter you down. All right, so anyway, They have the ability to push people mentally. And in this one, the fucking, the paranormal police, or what do they call them? The shop?
Yeah, although they don't, did they call them the shop in this movie? They just call it DSI. I know in the book they just called it the shop, but in this movie it's DSI.
In the book, they were a kind of a company that was contracted by the CIA to find people that had paranormal abilities and try to figure out what to do with them, you know, fucking can you use them? And they were making drugs that were getting people to actually exhibit these things, this phenomenon back in the 60s. MK Ultra kind of stuff. There was a history behind all this. You know, the U.S. and the Soviets were interested in this. They actually had psychics they were working with, and there's Project Stargate, which that was a reality. So that's kind of what they're talking about. But it was a company that they had contracted to deal with these people. Kind of like something out of X-Men, actually, when you think about it. But anyway, it's fucking stupid. They have these fucking contact lenses to protect you against mind control. Fucking dumb. Okay.
Which, yeah. I was sitting there thinking, well, that's probably like a dumb idea.
Yeah.
But I liked the idea behind why you would have that. Because, like, DSI, who have apparently, because they were the company that gave them the drugs in the first place and were studying the shit that happened. So you'd think that after all this time,
maybe they have some way.
Then they would have some way of protecting, because they know, like, about all of these powers that people have. So you would think that, so yeah, the contact lenses was a dumb idea, but I get the idea behind it, like why they wrote that in there.
I would have put something more plausible, like they were injecting some kind of drug into themselves that made them more resistant to a psychic force against them. That I might be able to buy. But just blocking vision? Nah, I don't think that would work. Okay. The other one that pissed me off is that they put on flame retardant silver suits to protect them against the flames that girl could make. It's clearly stated in the book, and it's clearly showed in the movie, That it was not a ball of fire that was hitting you. She was agitating your molecules deep inside your body. She could start the fire inside you. They could put a fucking 5-foot square block of concrete in front of her, and she could stare at it, and it would get so hot it'd start warping the room, and then explode in a bunch of fucking molten rocks. Okay, putting on a flame retardant suit, it wouldn't work. And they shouldn't have even thrown that in there. They should have made her a lot more dangerous. Because then they go ahead and they say, you know, if she could accelerate these molecules and start fires, why can't she rip the atoms in those molecules apart? Because if that happens, she'd set off a chain reaction.
They do mention in this movie. And they mention it in the book and the original film as well.
So they've already said that that's a possibility that she might be able to do that. So what the hell is a fucking flame suit? Why didn't you even fucking think of that? You know what I mean? I just thought that was kind of cheesy. It made it look like that ability would be easy to foil. And it wouldn't be.
I get the idea behind it. Just because you don't want this supposedly, like, shady, top-secret government thing that's been dealing with this for a long time to seem like they have no defenses against shit that they've been studying. But, yeah, they probably should have workshopped it a little bit more to make it, like, a little more plausible.
The book and the first movie had a more plausible means of controlling them, which they left out in here. How they did it in the book and in the movie is they basically kind of came at them and gained their... in a ruse, and they would shoot them with some kind of tranquilizer dart and knock them out, and then they'd start doping them up with these drugs so they couldn't use that ability. And that's in the book, and they don't get into that in this, and I think the reason why they don't get into that is because the flow of time in this movie's been time compressed. They get attacked, the mom gets killed, they go on a fucking run, shit happens, and it all seems like it's just a couple of days.
Yeah, like not that long.
Yeah, the book goes over a period of a couple of years. So it was time, you know, there was enough time to keep the dad doped up so he couldn't, with that drug, so he couldn't use his abilities. I think they gave him a bunch of heroin too, didn't they? Heroin?
I don't know.
They kind of neutralized him. They were using him as a tool to control the girl, keeping her dad alive. But the story's significantly changed, and it's been time compressed to be kind of more like a paranormal horror adventure But there are some things about the movie that I really like. They made the girl, what's her name again?
Charlie.
They made Charlie kind of a little bit darker.
They made her like slightly less adorable.
Yeah.
I mean, she's still a cute little girl, but they made her a little bit more morally gray, I guess. You know what I mean? We're a little less sympathetic.
Yeah, she was a little bit more like Carrie towards after Carrie started fucking killing people. Kind of like that.
Yeah.
A little bit. Which, that's in the same universe. And Charlie's mom had psychokinesis, like Carrie. She was a person like Carrie.
Well, and I liked, too, that they kind of went into, because I don't remember if they did this in the original film or not, but you would think, Charlie, she was like the daughter of two people that had taken this experimental drugs and they had powers.
Yeah.
So the dad had the push and the mom had telekinesis.
Yeah.
And so Charlie has like the pyrokinesis, but she also has like slightly, she can also do the push and she can also do telekinesis like to a lesser degree,
which, like I said,
makes sense. Cause that would be like,
yeah. And it makes a lot more sense. It kind of updated that pyrokinesis is telekinesis. It's the same ability.
Yeah.
It's just a different manifestation of it. If you look at poltergeist cases, some of the poltergeist cases involve spontaneous fires. That's what it is. It's RSPK, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. Except they can consciously kind of control it. Although her mom wasn't that good at it, evidently.
Well, because they explained that the mom, she had been trying to like suppress it. She didn't want to use it.
Yeah.
So because I think even Rainbird says that, like when he comes there, he's like, "Oh, you're out of practice," because she could still kind of throw shit around, but her aim was like fucked up because she hadn't been doing it for a long time.
Right.
Because again, it was kind of a thing which, you know, they got into in the movie where, you know, she was afraid it would like get out of her control and she would end up like hurting somebody. So she was trying like not to do it.
Yeah. And they show the experiments that created the parents kind of like in a flashback sequence during the beginning credits, opening credits, which I liked it. And it had a good Carpenter kind of score. Like, you know, it almost sounded like something out of I don't know, Blade Runner or fucking or something like out of The Thing. And they're showing like old video of what happened. You know, people tearing their eyes out and going fucking crazy. You see, the mom and the dad that created Charlie were like some of the few people that survived it. The other ones went fucking nuts.
Yeah, they went all Russian sleep experiment.
Yeah. Yeah. And they selected them for basically being college students that didn't hardly have any money and didn't have any family. That way, if they came up missing, nobody, you know, there wouldn't be lawsuits and shit. And that's they were both selected because they were orphans.
Yeah, they kind of went into that. Because, Victoria, the mom, like, she said her parents were dead. And then he didn't have parents. He said he'd grown up in a group home.
Yeah.
So apparently he didn't know who his parents were. So, and they were like, why are you asking all these questions about our parents? You know what I mean? Yeah. But I did like the way they had that like, it kind of gave you an idea of what they went through just, like, during the credits. But they didn't really have to go super into it. Like, you got the idea. So I think that was good, the way they kind of, like, shortened it. But I thought it was, like, interesting. It was an interesting choice to do, because you know how in the book and in the 1984 one, they actually kidnap Charlie, right? And then, I mean, they kill the mom, and then they kidnap Charlie, and they take her to the thing, and then she, and then Rainbird, like, befriends her, pretending to be a janitor.
Yeah.
And they didn't do any of that in this movie.
Yeah, they changed the whole Rainbird story.
In this one, like, Rainbird, she pretty much knows immediately that that's, like, a bad guy. That's the guy that killed her mom.
Yeah.
And that's the guy that's coming after them. And at no point does Charlie get taken into the shop and experimented on.
Right.
At no point does that happen.
At least not yet. I think that might happen in the second movie.
If
they do a second movie. The way it ended, they're definitely... That was not an ending. That was a setup for a sequel. That's how that shit...
It did kind of seem like that.
That was not an ending, not really. So I think the story is only half told if they make another one. Why not? Why not? If it makes its money back, they make the profit, you know, I wouldn't...
Yeah, I'm not really sure, like, how much this costs to make. It's Blumhouse, so they usually try to keep it under 10 mil. I don't know how much this costs, if this costs more than that. It didn't do, I think they were projecting 5 to 7 million to make the first weekend, and I think it made 4, so it slightly underperformed.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They also released it to Peacock, the streaming service.
Yeah.
So you could watch, like, simultaneously. So I don't know. So if it does well on there, like I said, Blumhouse, they tend to, like, make stuff that's lower budget. So yeah. It takes a lot less for them to, like, make. And honestly, they've made sequels to movies way fucking worse than this. That's for sure.
Yeah. And not to say it's bad.
It's just, not. I didn't mind it.
No, it's enjoyable. It's pretty good. Some people are disappointed because it's not like the first one. But look, the first one was a fucking low budget kind of piece of shit too. It's just it was one of the better pieces of shit, and we watched it a lot. And there were things about that first one that were kind of charming, and it is a fun movie to watch. But a lot of the movies that are legendary today are low budget pieces of shit. They just did well. Like Scanners. I put this over like old Scanners did shit. It's a low budget movie, but it was just a great movie. You know, great to watch, fun. But people of the day saw that and they're like, ah, fuck that. But but it's aged real well because you were kids when you were watching it. And it did, looking back on it, it had a lot of good ideas. And so I'd probably put this up here kind of like, you know, along the lines of, you know, fucking the first one, the first Firestarter and Scanners and. Fucking, what else was the other one that was kind of like the old, I would say Christine was better, but what was...
Yeah, I liked Christine a lot. And I kind of feel like a lot of people, when they talk about like best Stephen King adaptations, hardly anybody brings up Christine. And I thought Christine was fucking awesome. And that was John Carpenter too.
Yeah, and this was kind of like the original Dead Zone, about the same kind of budget, about the same kind of quality. But it's more modernized, you know. Dead Zone might have spent a little bit more money. But that had Walken in it, you know, and he carried the movie.
Yeah, he kind of made that movie, I gotta say. And, I mean, the rest of the movie was good, too, but...
But when those movies came out, they really didn't catch a whole lot of attention. They made their movie on cable and, you know, on HBO and shit. And then later, VHS. And generations of people just watched them, and they just kind of stuck in the movie fucking horror scene. So there's no reason not to make a sequel to this as long as it makes its money back. I'd see it. I want to see where they're going to go with it.
We were talking.
It's not perfect, but it's not terrible either. I mean, it's. I would watch it.
I mean, okay, like on the spectrum of Stephen King adaptations.
Yeah. Okay.
This one's just right around in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, think of all the terrible Stephen King adaptations. Right, yeah. Sleepwalkers.
Right.
Dreamcatcher.
Right.
Hi, looking at you.
Langoliers.
Pretty bad. That was pretty bad.
Maximum Overdrive I thought was bad, but you know.
Well, that one was so bad that it went around all the way around and became awesome again because it was so terrible. But there have been a lot of shitty Stephen King adaptations. Yeah. I'm just saying that this one is really not, it's not a fantastic movie, but it's not terrible either. I mean, I wasn't bored. It was it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
Yes, if you're expecting it to be faithful to the book, it absolutely is not. It's in the same spirit as the book.
Yeah.
And some of the same shit happens, but they did change shit around. Like I said, at no point does Charlie like go to the shop where they like experiment on her and shit like that and like have her dad there. It doesn't go like that. But like you said, I kind of feel like they were trying to time compress it so it happened like in a much shorter, so there was more of like a propulsive kind of kind of pace, I guess.
They were because trying to make it a little fast paced, more modern.
Yeah, because the one from 84, although I like that one, it's not really among my favorite Stephen King adaptations, but the one from 84 was fine. That one was a little rambling because it went on for a long time. But like I said, they were trying to make it faithful to the book, and the book like covers like a really long time period. This one was just kind of trying to like keep it moving.
They were trying to keep it moving.
Which, like I said, I get it. I do like that they actually, we were kind of talking about this on the car on the way home. I do like that they actually had a real, it's actually not Native American, he's Canadian, but a real indigenous person playing Rainbird. As much as I love George C. Scott in the first one, the weird thing about that is like, I was like, okay, the original 1984 movie, there was nothing in the movie that said that Rainbird had to be Native American. So
other
I was
than
like
his name.
Other than his name. They could have they could have just like changed it.
Yeah.
You know, unless they could get an indigenous actor, they got George C. Scott, white ass George C. Scott. So I was like, why didn't they just change the character a little bit?
Yeah.
to something because it wasn't super important to the plot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But they didn't do that back then.
I know, which is weird because it would have been like, it would have changed pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
Also, we were wondering about this too because, like I said, I saw the 1984 one probably 2 or 3 years ago, so I remember that pretty good, but I haven't read the book for like a really long time. Although I did read a plot synopsis real quick before we did this, so just so I could remember. But was it not, I mean, Rainbird in the book and in the 1984 movie, it was pretty heavily implied that he was a pedo.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, they kind of implied in this one, too, but I think not as overtly.
Yeah.
There's like a couple lines in there where it sort of implies.
Yeah, I haven't read the book in a long time. I remember maybe about half of the shit that he was talking about when George C. Scott was doing it. In general, the way I remembered it is that he wanted to take the girl. He was in love with that girl, and he wanted to make that girl. She's like, what, 7 or 8?
I thought she was 10, but 10? I couldn't remember how old she was in the book because they might have made her slightly older for the movie. I'm not real sure. So
his thing was is that he wanted to befriend her and that he loved her, and she wanted he wanted her to love him, and then once she loved him, he could kill her.
Yeah.
And that
it's kind of fucked up.
And it would, and that she would could go into the spirit world because he was talking about the spirit world a lot. You know, he was. I don't think he was. He has abilities in this one. All right, which I'm gonna talk about that in a second. From what I remember, he wanted to kill her at that moment so she could go into the spirit world in like a state of purity. And then later on, when he died, he would be reunited with her in the spirit world. And we're talking about the fucking universe of The Shining and ghosts, and this is Stephen King's world. So Rainbird might know what he's talking about. He may not be crazy. Maybe he, you know, knows about the spirit world. And he could, just like, you know, out of Dr. Sleep. It turns out vampires are real. They're just not as you imagined them. So he was trying to do something like that. There was kind of a pedo element to it, but it was like spiritual pedoism. I don't think he said anything about having sex with the girl. But he just was love the girl. It's gonna be like a bride.
Yeah. So maybe not technically pedophile, right, like in the sexual sense, but pedophile in the sense that he's in love with children.
That's the way, or that one. I don't think it was it implies that it's girl. It's real young girls. Is what he's into. Because they said they brought it up that this is a good case for you type of deal.
Yeah, because it said that in this one too. And I was like, oh, I see what you did.
Yeah. Now, my buddy Brian says he didn't like this Rainbird. He liked the fucking George C. Scott Rainbird.
Well, yeah, he's here.
Okay, that's just because it's George C. Scott, man.
Yeah, George, I mean, I'll agree. I love George C. Scott.
Yeah.
And somebody said he was great in The Changeling. Yeah, The Changeling is actually one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
As crazy as that casting was, George C. Scott pulled Rainbird off with his...
He did.
He had the eye patch and the fucking ponytail.
Yeah,
he
was scary as shit in that movie.
He had the gravitas and he had voice. And so he was able to pull that off. But that was just him.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that with anybody else.
If they put some other honky motherfucker in there, like, play, I don't think it
wouldn't have worked. So I think they
he got away with it.
Yeah. So I think they did a good job of casting with this Rainbird. That's kind of how I kind of imagine what he might look like from the book. So I think he did pretty good with the material that they gave him. He doesn't have a whole lot to do. Some of the shit that the character does didn't make sense to me. He shot the cops when he didn't have to. And then the fucking...
Yeah, a lot of cops get killed in this.
Yeah, he shot the cops when he didn't have to. And then the secret agents lock his ass up and start treating him as a criminal, and there was just no reason for him to do that. But they must have a bigger story arc or something for the sequel. That's the only explanation. It's just that for a guy who's basically a secret agent, well, you know, how could he be so dumb? You know, and they asked him that. Why are you so dumb?
You know, why are you so dumb?
Yeah,
they didn't say exactly that.
But that's basically what they said. Why are you so fucking dumb?
Didn't seem like, because I kind of feel like in the original movie, like George C. Scott, he was clearly insane.
Yeah.
In this one, not so much. Like maybe he's insane, but you couldn't really tell what was going on because he was a little kind of stoic.
And he's a psychic.
Yeah, George C. Scott in the original one, he didn't have...
I don't think he so.
I don't think so. We need to watch it tonight because it's been a while. It's been ages since I've read the book, so I don't remember.
He had kind of like extrasensory perception. He could feel where you were and find you like a scout. And what I did like about the movie is that they give him a little bit of a backstory in terms of they show what happens before the mission. He's just a janitor, okay? And they call him up on the phone and they ask to reactivate him. He says, we're reactivating you. So he was just living as a, you know, as kind of like a nobody in a way. And they give him a whole new mission and he decides to take it. And when he meets the boss and he's like, you know, they threw you away like garbage, but we're bringing you back. And I'm the new one in charge and fucking I'm putting you back on the job, which I like that to let you know that what he was doing before and that they had kind of thrown him away. And
yeah,
it gave the character a little bit more depth to know where he came from. I guess he had a bigger plan, you know, killing the cops put him on the wrong side of the law and the agency turned against him. But it seems to be that's what he wanted when you see the end of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it really did seem like he very deliberately did that.
And I don't know why. That's why I'm saying the way the movie ended, I'm like, they're setting this up for a sequel. He did all that shit for a reason. They just haven't told us yet.
Yeah, so that's, that was my only complaint. So if they don't make a sequel, then the end is just going to be like, what? Okay, but because the end was kind of like ambiguous.
Yeah, they're like, a little bit. Yeah, so he won? He did win, but not really because she could kill him, you know, just.
Yeah, I mean, all she got to do is go whoosh.
Yeah,
she can blow your fucking ass up.
Right.
I was telling Tom in the car on the way home, I said, it's a good thing I don't have that power because I would be in fucking big trouble. I'd be setting people on fire left and right. As I hate you and I hate you and I hate you.
So just looking at it in the spectrum of all the King movies and reboots and everything, I put it around in the middle.
It's very middling. It's fine. It's entertaining. Like I said, I wasn't bored. It actually went by pretty quick. Like it seemed pretty short.
Yeah. So I hated it. But I didn't hate it.
I didn't really feel like super strongly. I was just like, that was all right.
Yeah.
That was all
right. Right. I'm not real emotionally invested.
I didn't feel like I wasted my time or nothing like that. Yeah. And as I said, I've seen way worse movies generally, but I've seen way worse Stephen King adaptations.
Oh, way worse. Sure.
Way worse.
Yeah.
So this is
that
just
Pet
in the
Cemetery
middle.
Was not as good as this.
Yeah, I think remake. Now that I was thinking about it, I think this was better than the Pet Sematary reboot from 2019, which they also changed significantly from the book. If you haven't seen it, this was like faster paced and kind of had.
It had a good new retro wave sound brought to you by John Carpenter to kind of fucking take you back to give you a little bit of nostalgia and coolness. The kids like it, you know. They did that shit, and it almost
those kids
sounded,
today.
Yeah, it sounded like a cross between you know, the fucking Snake Plissken shit and fucking The Thing, you know? Kind of sounded a little bit like that. It was good, you know? And there was something about it, too. Something about it kind of made me think of a fucking Halloween 3, too. There's something kind of Halloween 3 about it. The dudes with the stones and the fucking robots and, you know what I mean? The secret agent base kind of reminded me of that for some reason. I don't know why. Just, I don't know.
Danny Rolling Ghostface says, what was up with that female agent's eyes shifting? She had those contacts in. That's how they showed you that she had the contacts in. It prevented you from getting pushed.
Yeah.
That's what they were for. So, yeah, that's why she had them on, because she was in there, like, talking to him, and she didn't want him to, like, push her into doing
some
shit.
Yeah, some kind of special contact that had computer-controlled stuff in there so to block the psychic abilities. I don't fucking, you know, so they couldn't control your mind. It doesn't make sense to me, but I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have bothered.
I mean, like I said, I like the idea that this shop had come up with something to counteract some of the people's powers, but I would have made it something other than that.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me.
I would have made it drugs, because they made drugs to create psychics. That means you.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't have been. Yeah, it could have been like an inoculation or something like that. That might have been better. But I guess it wasn't as visually cool,
right?
You know, because you get to see like the flashy eyes, and that's kind of cool. Slasher Fred is talking about Rose Red. Honestly, I saw that back when it first aired, because it aired on TV. I think it was like a TV miniseries, and that was back in what, fucking 2001, 2002, I want to say. And I read the book as well. And I remember it being good, but I don't really remember a great deal about it. And honestly, I heard somebody like talking about it the other day, and I said, shit, I really want to rewatch that. But I don't know if it's like streaming anywhere. Maybe I can find it someplace and rewatch it, because I remember like really liking it. It being like a haunting of Hill House type situation. And then somebody's talking about Salem's Lot. Yeah, Salem's Lot was great. Aren't they remaking that? Aren't they remaking Salem's Lot?
Yeah, evidently according to Tila.
I thought they were. Which yeah. that's okay.
The made for TV Salem's Lot fucking remastered for fucking HDTV is fucking great.
Yeah, I think it's on Shudder at the moment.
Saw the trailer for the new Cronenberg flick. It looked fucking great.
I told you. Yeah I saw it. Our friend Dimitri like sent it to me, and I was like, oh my god, that looks like the Cronenbergiest movie that ever Cronenberged. I'm here for it. It looked like really good. And yeah, we saw the trailer for that. We saw the trailer for the new Jordan Peele movie, Nope, which I also want to see that too. Now, see, it says that the Cronenberg movie is coming out in June. So maybe it is coming out next month. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I told you, it looks cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Kind of awesome. He downloaded it. He says, not that bad, does not sound good. Is it better than the original? It's different than the original.
Yeah, it's a lot different.
It's different.
I mean, as I said, it's obviously the same story. Like, it does follow some of the same plot beats, but the time is compressed a lot more. Like, you know, they still kind of go on the run. The mom still gets killed. They still, you know, end up at that farm and, like, everybody comes to get them and shit like that. But that whole part with Charlie being befriended by John Rainbird, like, pretending to be somebody else, like, trying to get her trust and stuff, they didn't do any of that. Which, as I said, I get it, because it seemed like it was just set over a few days or a couple weeks or something like that, rather than, you know, the original movie, I kind of feel like spanned a few months, didn't it? It seemed like maybe even longer.
Brian's in there saying this is the worst movie in years and all this kind of, that. He doesn't like anything from Blumhouse. Now, Blumhouse is just low, because he worked for a different company. Okay. All right. It's not your company, okay? But no, it was in the middle. If you ask me, of Stephen King reboots and remakes. In the middle, you know, which is passable. I enjoyed watching it. Just a slightly different take on the story. I don't think, like I said, if you were to say that's the end of the movie, I would say, yeah, that wasn't any good. But no, they're setting that up for a sequel.
Yeah.
That's only half the story.
And I think that was really the only thing that I had an issue with, is that they did kind of, I mean, the ending, like, shit happened at the end, obviously. Like, there was big, like, people got killed and shit. Yeah. But the way they left it was a little bit, like, ooh, like, a little bit ambiguous. Like, huh, I wonder what's going to go on with that. Yeah. But, yeah, so, I don't know. They might make one.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't mind Blumhouse, because they have, like, a really good business model where they're just kind of like, hey, we're going to make, like, $10 million horror movies. And then they just make their money back. Some of them are shitty, but I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, most of them are, like, okay, like, worth watching. I'll watch them. Actually, I think Blumhouse is doing that one, The Black Phone, which I think is coming out next month. That looks all right, too, the one with Ethan Hawke. Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
Who was in Sinister, which is actually that wasn't Blumhouse, but that was, I don't think. But that was, like, a really good movie, too, Sinister. I don't think you ever saw that, did you? I saw it a couple times.
I'm reading all the fucking fighting shit.
All the fighting. No, seriously, just because everyone was like bitching about like how bad it was. I said, I didn't watch any reviews, but I subscribe to a lot of horror channels, and you know how sometimes like people have the thumbnails and they'll be making like a face?
Yeah.
So you know, I kept seeing like all these horror channels with people's face like like that, and I was just kind of like, So that's how I got, like, the impression. So I was, like, expecting it to, like, be awful, and it really wasn't.
See, he's fucking Brian's in there saying, see, I hate Jordan Peele, too. Fucking, nope. Can you think of a better title than that? See, that's where you're gonna lose Jenny, because Jenny likes...
Well, somebody told me, maybe it was Tila. Yeah. Somebody said, well, nope is actually, like, it's an acronym for not of planet Earth.
Okay.
And, but also, like, nope, we're not having the aliens for it. I think that's hilarious, honestly.
I think that one Jordan Peele movie I liked, the one where they were underground, that fucking weird ass fucking movie.
Us,
that was weird. All right,
I really
didn't understand it. I didn't really want to think about it too much to understand it, but it was.
I didn't want to think about it too much,
but it was creepy. Okay, there was some kind of message there, but I don't know what the message was. It was just okay. I just took it for what it was. just kind of fucking disconcerting, kind of fucking alien, kind of weird horror, kind of just... I think there was a fucking bigger plan there, but you had to read into it. It kind of seemed like something pulled out of his ass, but I don't think it was. It was symbolic for something.
Was, yeah. Brian asked, did you guys see The Sadness yet? I saw it. Tom didn't watch it. And I recorded a review for it today, which is going to go up on Saturday. So gory, he says. Yeah. It is. It's very gory. Like I said, it's a fucking bloodbath. I enjoyed it quite a bit. But yeah, if you're not into gore, then might want to pass. It's not the goriest thing I've ever seen, but it is pretty fucking gory. Yeah, and it's pretty much all its practical effects.
Kyle's saying Top Gun 2 looks good. Says, yeah, it looks good to me. We'll see. But from what they're showing it, from what they're showing of it from the trailer, yeah, Top Gun 2 looked good. We'll see.
Yeah, we're going to go see that when it comes out. I think, when is that? Actually, that'll be out end of this month. I think it starts May 27th.
I think so.
Yeah, like Memorial Day weekend. So not this coming weekend, but I think the weekend after it starts. Two more.
Those last few Mission Impossible flicks that he was in were fucking great, too. Real good.
Yeah, I actually liked those. But yeah, I mean, you know. I don't know. Everyone's going to, like...
Damn, Hope. She's throwing a damn snowman around.
She has. I bought her for Christmas this little bitty plastic snowman that you put treats in there.
Yeah.
And, like, when she knocks into it, like, the treats fall out. It's not, they don't fall out of his butt. They kind of fall out of his side. But I call it out of his butt. But,
she fucking smacks it. She's like, pow! And it goes flying.
And it lets flying, and then, like, all the treats fly out. And she's like, woo, treats everywhere. Yeah. It's like, treats. She's fucking crazy. But, yeah, honestly... I don't know. I guess because I told him, I was like, look, you know, I've been a fan of, like, Mystery Science Theater my whole life, and I've watched shitty movies my whole life. If you make a movie and it has, like, a coherent plot and decent actors, and you can keep the boom mic out of the shot, and, you know, you can't see the zipper on the back of the monster suit, then it's all right. You know what I mean? I've seen some really, really terrible movies. This is not a terrible movie.
No, it's fucking not.
It's a perfectly serviceable Stephen King adaptation.
I think all the hate is unjustified.
Yeah, I think people have a little too much. You know how everything has to be. It's the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why everybody has to be like that. It's seriously not. It's fine. It's worse than cancer.
According to Brian, it's because it's Blumhouse. All right? He doesn't work for that company.
Well, like I said, I've seen some Blumhouse movies that were really good, and I've seen some ones that were not that great. They were just meh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen a terrible one. I haven't seen, like, a bunch of them. But they're either, like, forgettable.
Yeah, just kind of forgettable.
Yeah, which, that's all I want. I just want to eat some fucking snowcaps and watch a dumbass horror movie. That's fine.
Yeah, Blumhouse thing is just make a cheap, low-budget horror-type movie, and you watch it. And you don't ridicule it or anything. It's just, it is what it is. And, they look a lot better than cheap movies of the past.
That's true.
Like, they look a lot better than what they used to look like. Imagine if those things were made in the 70s. They'd be fucked up. Like, they'd be like Giant Spider Invasion.
That's what I mean. I'm just kidding. And like that one's actually, like, kind of entertaining.
It is.
It's
now.
Like, you want to see, like, a shit movie? Go back and watch something like The Blood Waters of Dr. Z and then get back to me.
Squirm.
Although Squirm's actually pretty entertaining.
With the fucking worms and shit. Yeah.
That's actually not terrible. That was actually one of the better, like, shitty movies. I'm talking like ones like I said, Blood Waters of Dr. Z, which is just an ugly middle-aged guy, like in baggy, dumpy pants, like walking around pretending he's a mad scientist. It's something. And it was shot in Florida. So, and there's like shit where there's like a swimming pool that's supposed to be a swamp, even though it's clearly a swimming pool. I mean, you know, it's shit like that. So I've seen way worse movies, so I'm not going to get like all fucking... I'm not going to get my panties in a twist about a movie just being, like, okay. As long as it entertains me for 90 minutes.
You're talking about Amityville. The original Amityville horror was cool back in the day. If you watch it now, man, that thing looks like shit. It looks...
I still like it, but it's...
Yeah, it's just because Margot Kidder's in it and it has a good cast.
Yeah.
But no, man, fucking... a good episode of the fucking... of the Haunting series off television is actually technically a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, I still like Amityville Horror, but it's nostalgia for me. Because honestly, I saw it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I was like 7 or 8, and it scared the fucking shit out of me. But it's like, if you watch it now, it's like not scary at all. No. But
not scary, and it just looks real bland.
And it takes, when we rewatched it, you know, very recently, I was just kind of like, wow, not a lot happens in this movie.
No. So I said, more happens in an episode of The Haunting.
Yeah.
It's Haunting a Summer Wind episode. It's like one of the best fucking haunted house movies of all times, and it's a television just an episode off a television series. Where's that raccoon? No, that's it.
Somebody a long time ago said we'd probably like The Fury. I'm sure, didn't we do a review of The Fury? Like, that's Brian De Palma, right? The one with John Cassavetes, and he, like, blows up at the end. It's also about psychics.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, we did. I'm sure we did a review of that, because I know we just watched it like a year or two ago, so we must have. Danny Rowling says, is there any chance that we would do an actual video on the film Omega Man instead of just audio? Just wondering, because that would be epic.
What is he talking about?
Because remember, we did the Omega Man.
Yeah.
A review of it, but that was like a long time ago.
You
before
want a new
we had
Omega
a video
Man? I can do
component.
A new Omega Man.
Yeah, we could do
I
that.
I have a fucking even better take on that, because I've seen it so many, I've seen it couple extra times on top of that, and kind of picked up some more subtext. There's a lot of fucking subtext in
dude this. You know what we should do?
Yeah,
we should do a whole like super episode. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about Last Man on Earth, Omega Man, and the Will Smith one. Why don't we do that, like I Am Legend? We'll do all three adaptations.
Yeah, okay.
Like, not maybe not this week, but we'll do it like maybe next week or something.
All right.
Yeah, Brian said, you did, and I watched it last week because you reviewed it, The Fury. Yeah, I was pretty sure that we had done The Fury. It had, like, what's-her-face that was in Carrie, not Sissy Spacek, but, shit, what's that actress's name? The one that played Sue. Yeah, she's in it, and it's, like, it's kind of like, because there was a lot of movies in the 70s about kind of shady government sort of things that were like studying psychics, like people with psychic abilities, so this was kind of about that, too. This was kind of, I think it came out right around, I don't know, like maybe a couple years. I think it came out in 1978.
So, Danny, why do you want a new Omega Man? What is it that the old one didn't give?
I don't even remember what we talked about on the earlier one. But like I said, it would be cool because I don't think, we've reviewed the Omega Man, but we haven't reviewed, I don't think we reviewed Last Man on Earth, and I don't think we reviewed the Will Smith I Am Legend either. So it might be kind of cool, because then, like, we wouldn't just be retreading the same ground. Then we could talk about, like, all the different adaptations, and we could talk about the book, and that's, I don't know, that'd be cool, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
That's a lot of material.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know.
That I could probably make a video like that 3 hours long.
Well, I know you could.
Yeah. I'd almost rather just do them all separately.
Well, maybe we could do that, like, you know, because we do three matinees a week. Why don't we do that, then? We'll do
them separately.
We'll do Last Man on Earth.
Like a trilogy.
On Sunday, and then we'll do Omega Man on Monday, and then we'll
do... You're right. That makes more sense.
And then we'll do the Will Smith one. Even though I didn't love the Will Smith one, but...
No.
I've only seen it once, and I remember, yay.
Yeah.
I didn't like the ending.
It reversed a lot of the great things from Omega Man.
Well, that's what kind of pissed me off about it. I was just like, well, that's just kind of... The ending of it, like, negated the whole fucking point of the book.
Yeah, you took an awesome... A movie that was awesome story-wise and then eliminated fucking most of the characters and just made it a zombie movie. No. Bad.
Fourth showdown. Will Smith pimp slaps the apocalypse.
Yeah. And then another thing that was really fucking bad. How can you be the Omega Man? He wasn't the last man on Earth. It was just in that city.
Honestly, the Vincent Price one is the most faithful to the book. Yeah. Just gonna say.
The whole thing about the fucking Omega Man and fucking I Am Legend is that you are the last man on planet Earth.
Yeah, you're the last human.
Yeah, the last. Everybody else is some kind of a fucking mutant or a vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind
of
the
whole point.
And
they see you as the monster.
Yeah, because you're going around killing them while he's
asleep. It has a lot of... There's a lot of philosophy in there, and a lot of it has to do with fucking... what do you call it? Moral relativism is what it's about. And it's also very much about how man is a fucking evil monster and that you're destroying the earth, the environment, and burning fuel and shit like that. So it's actually very Marxist. But it's not pro-Marxist. It's anti-Marxist. It's just showing you that both sides see themselves as monsters. That's kind of partly what it is. If you look at Omega Man, the family is basically Antifa. That's what they were. Running around destroying shit, going after fucking, you know, this last fucking symbol of fucking capitalism. That's really what they're talking about.
Hugo says Last Man on Earth is the best one.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it is the most faithful to the book, gonna say. And it's got Vincent Price in it, so. Bundy Data asks, best werewolf movie? We've gotten way off track, but that's okay.
Yeah, way off track.
That's okay, we already talked about the movie. Best werewolf movie?
Howling One, pretty good.
Howling One, American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
Dog Soldiers.
Yeah.
Ginger Snaps.
Yeah, like Ginger Snaps. That was the one with the cute girls in it.
Yeah.
Cute werewolf
girls. I mean, the original Wolfman's pretty good. I mean, that's kind of like...
Wolf was pretty good. Jack Nicholson was pretty good. It was like a werewolf movie for people in their 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. For middle-aged folks.
Yeah.
Oh, we're middle-aged folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sebastian Moran also said Dog Soldiers. Dog Soldiers is badass. I really, really like that movie. There's not really a lot of good werewolf movies. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of werewolf movies, but I mean,
hard to do right.
Yeah, it is.
It's also kind of a dated subject, so there's not many of them made.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? And werewolves never had the fucking appeal of vampires and zombies. Just they never. Now, what was that one fucking Underworld, didn't that had vampires and werewolves in it?
It did.
And
does Twilight.
Yeah. So you might say that those are werewolf movies.
Hugo says Benicio del Toro's Wolfman was good. Yeah, I remember seeing that in the theater, and I remember it being good. But I don't remember that much about it, so I'd have to like rewatch it because I do like Benicio del Toro a lot. But yeah.
Yeah, and Boomer Werewolves, exactly.
Yeah, it is kind of like that.
Boomer Werewolves.
All right, we gonna wrap it up?
Yeah.
All right, so tomorrow we're either gonna talk about whatever, we'll decide. We're either gonna talk about the original Firestarter movie from 1984, or we're gonna talk about the Clive Barker adaptation, Rawhead Rex.
Okay.
Because we haven't decided. We'll figure it out. Because we actually watched that again last night. Because I was like, what the hell? I was looking for something that I'd kind of seen before that we hadn't reviewed, but. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. If I can find, like, the 84... I think the 84 Firestarter is streaming on Peacock for free.
Okay.
And I don't know if we have that app, but I have to go and find it. I have Pluto, and I have Tubi, obviously, like, the app on the Xbox, but I don't think I have Peacock.
If not, I'll just rent.
Yeah. I think it's $2.99 or $3.99 or something like that on Amazon Prime. All right, so we'll be back tomorrow for another movie review. So thanks for hanging out with us this afternoon and evening, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow.